Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Dear Christian friends, your baptism has consequences. Paul in our text is contrasting two different ways, two kinds of walking. On the one hand, there's the swagger of the Gentiles. On the other hand, there is the walk of the baptized. Now, the journey of the Gentiles is to walk in futility, to be darkened in understanding, to be alienated from God, to be ignorant of him, to have a hard and calloused heart towards God. And such an internal reality gets expressed in external actions, Paul says. Sensuality, greed, practice of every kind of impurity. And it's that Gentile swagger that Paul encourages the Ephesians here to put off, because the walk of the baptized is different. Because your baptism, well, it has consequences. But I don't want you to misunderstand me, because it would be easy to say, well, of course it has consequences. After all, Christians should behave like Christians. To do anything else is just hypocrisy, isn't it? After all, doesn't Paul here say that we ought to tell the truth and not lie? Not to sin in our anger, not to steal, not to speak with words that will tear down, but rather to build up? Doesn't he tell us to flee bitterness and wrath and anger and malice? Doesn't he show us what the Christian walk looks like? Yes, he does. But why? Why does the Christian walk look like this? It's not simply because the Christian behaves better than everybody else. You know, if you receive a letter in the mail, you don't just open it up and start reading it halfway through, right? You start at the beginning, you read all the way to the end, and whatever the author is saying, their thought and their progression actually builds on what they've said before. Well, we read Paul's letters the same way. We can't just open it up in the middle of chapter 4 and start reading without remembering everything that came in chapters 1 through 3. Because if we did that, especially with this text, we'd emerge with nothing more than a laundry list of what good little Christians should do. And Paul is getting at something far Paul here first isn't talking about what we do, but first, who we are in Christ. Before he exhorts anybody to do any kind of good works, he points them first to Jesus. So he describes the sinful swagger of the Gentiles, and then he says, but you? That is not how you learned Christ. Now, by nature, when we hear about learning Christ or learning from Christ, we immediately want to think of moral behavior. What has Christ taught us to do and to think? And that's not what Paul immediately is talking about here. When Paul speaks of learning Christ, we have to keep in mind that what he said in chapters 1 through 3 of this letter, that he's not just talking about learning mere information about Christ, and he's not talking about learning from Christ simply how to be a nice and good person. You don't need Jesus for that. Now, when we read the first part of Ephesians, you see that he's talking about learning Christ in his saving office. That is to say, what has Christ done for you? What has Christ done to you in order to save you from the death of your sin? How Christ has made you who were dead alive. How Christ has made you intimately one with himself in the union that happens through baptism. Even Christ, when he speaks about learning from him, He points not to your works, but he actually points to resting from your works through his work. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To learn Christ is not to learn all the things that you must do for him, but to learn of what he has done for you, to give you rest. Dear friends, that is good news for you, because your yoke is heavy. And I don't just mean that life is kind of stressful sometimes and sort of overwhelming. What I mean is that the yoke, the burden that you carry around with you every single day is your sin. And yes, that sin gets expressed in externally poor behavior, to be sure, but that behavior, it's just a symptom. It's just an indicator. It's a consequence of a deeper disease. It simply shows you that your old man, as Paul puts it, he fights tooth and nail to stay alive. I like to watch horror movies. Mary hates them. So I haven't gotten to watch many since we got married. Probably okay. But did you ever notice that in a horror movie, the bad guy just can't seem to stay dead? The people in the movie spend the whole time trying to get rid of this guy, this killer, and finally at the end, someone will put a knife in his heart or beat him over the head with a baseball bat, and everyone's finally relieved. He falls to the ground dead, right? And the camera pans up, and you see everyone with breathing sighs of relief, because now they don't have to look over their shoulder anymore. But then the camera pans back down to the place where the killer had been laying. Wouldn't you know it, he's gone. Only to be seen again staring at someone from behind in a mirror or lurking in the shadows. You just can't kill the guy. So you have sequel after sequel, 20-something sequels, depicting this immortal bad guy who's ravaging the lives of his unsuspecting victims. He just keeps on hanging on, no matter how many times they kill him. That is what your old self, with all of its deceitful desires, is like. You carry him around with you everywhere you go. And if you're honest, there are days that you actually skip along hand in hand with that old self. But then there are the days when you contend with his dead weight around your neck. Your Christian walk is often laden with a limp, isn't it? As that old self hangs on to your legs like a child, Paul says, put him off. Away with him. Kill him. Well, sounds easy, doesn't it? And you're thinking, well, if only it were that easy, Paul. I mean, there are days when I just can't wait to live for my Lord, but then there are days when it's a constant battle, not just to try to do God's will, but even to want to. Well, Paul knows this. Remember, this is the same Paul who in Romans 7, after describing the beautiful reality of baptism that puts us into Christ, he outlines the struggle that is the baptized life. That which he wants to do, he doesn't do. That which he hates, well, he keeps on doing it. Wretched man that I am, he cries out, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver you from this body of death? Well, I assure you, the answer is not simply in better moral behavior. No, you can work hard to overcome one sinful behavior. You could follow all of Paul's lists here and seem to get a handle on your sin. But one sinful behavior will just be replaced with another, just like the killer in the movie. Another one will creep in and take its place. Who will deliver you from the body of death? Well, all Paul can say is thanks be to God. Not God who will give you a laundry list of duties to perform, but God who baptizes you into Christ, who crucifies your old man that you can't get rid of. Your old self that you daily contend with, God drowns him in those waters, puts him in the tomb with Jesus, and raises you to new life, a new creation. And he does it without asking your permission, without requiring a lick of merit from you, out of pure grace and mercy. That's basically Ephesians 1 through 3. And so when Paul says, put off your old self, it's actually because your old self has already been reckoned with by God. And when he says to put on the new self, well, it's because you've been already put into Jesus. As Paul says in Galatians, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. A new self has been created, not by you, but by God in true righteousness, as opposed to false righteousness, which is what your old self would have you believe every day, that your Christian walk is nothing more than bare behavior, that God is simply sitting up there with his clipboard of tally marks in the sky, and if your good ones outweigh your bad ones, then you're doing okay. That is not true righteousness. True righteousness is simply to hear what God says about you because of Christ's death and resurrection. That you are righteous and perfect and holy and forgiven purely on account of Christ. True righteousness is to trust that promise. Not to drag your heavy yoke of works before God to try to impress him, but rather to take Christ's yoke, which is easy and light. Now, of course, such faith, like baptism, has consequences. Things that simply arise out of the reality that we are new creations. After all, when you kill a disease, the symptoms go along with it. Now, the reality is certainly far from complete to our human eyes, this side of heaven, but here, Paul means what he says. Because of what God has done for you and done to you in Christ, put off the old man. Put on the new man. Do away with falsehood. You don't need it. Speak the truth with one another out of love. Be angry and don't sin. Don't give opportunity for the devil. Let your language build one another up and not tear one another down. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Put away bitterness and wrath and anger and malice. Be kind and forgive, just as you have been forgiven in Christ. See how all of these things have to do with how we live with one another? None of this is about making God happy with you or keeping God happy with you. He already is. So what Paul exhorts us here are the consequences which simply arise out of the reality that God has put you in Christ. So you do these things because of what Christ has done for you and because your neighbor needs you to do them. And when you fail, and you will fail, because that old self clings on for dear life, when you fail, well, you return to your baptism. For even as your old man hangs around your neck, God gives you a greater treasure that adorns your whole being. It is the yoke of Christ. It is the robe of righteousness. It is forgiveness and life eternal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.